from Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Welcome everybody to Life Change Weekend. Here's a good question for you. Does God have an answer for my addiction? I remember as a young pastor years ago, when I began in my ministry, very little was said about addiction. Yet today, all of us are very familiar and very aware there are major issues with addiction. We're so glad that I have my dear friend, Pastor Bob Kadlicek, with us today. Pastor Bob is a pastor in the Montrose, Pennsylvania area. And when I say that, that's where he is at. But there are actually five or six locations of that wonderful ministry, Bridgewater Baptist Ministries. And Pastor Bob, it's good to have you on. How have you been?
It is good to be on. And I've been really good. God is at work, and it's just great to be a part of what God's doing.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I so often think about the topic we're talking about here today. And it seems to me that there are so many people that struggle now with this kind of an issue in their life. So let's talk about this today. Does God have an answer to my addiction? Tell us a little bit of how you see this addiction problem today.
It's definitely everywhere. It's not a city problem. It's not a rural problem. It's an everywhere, and actually every person problem. I think addiction is something 100% of people struggle with. And that's important to recognize, because we need to think of it not just as homeless people on the street, but within every single one of us, there are sins that we just struggle to let go of and keep going back to. And so to understand that, you know, drug addicts, they're not really different than me. They're just like me. Addiction is a compulsive need for something or someone that you just can't live without. And that can be food, sex, work, people's approval, success, money, cigarettes, your phone. And I've struggled with addiction myself, because all sin is addictive. I think sin only has one vocabulary word, and that's more. And it usually starts by trapping us in a lie, like, oh, it's only this one, so I deserve it. It's not really hurting anyone. And there's a lot of lies that we believe that trap us in sin. But once we get into a sin, it seeks to enslave us and grow. All sorts of sins work this way. Bitterness works this way. If you're bitter toward one person that doesn't want to stay there, that bitterness tends to grow into other areas of our lives and into other relationships as well.
Yeah, I so often think, Pastor, about the passage there in Ephesians, grieve not the Holy Spirit. It really does stop the Holy Spirit's working in a Christian's heart when this type of thing happens. So let's get down to specifics, though, Pastor. What about drug addiction specifically?
You know, I'm going to talk about the problem in America with some statistics, but for those listening in other countries, unfortunately, what happens in America often trickles down into other countries. So if it hasn't already hit where you live, it's on its way. In the last 20 years, Americans consume 8.5 times more prescription pain medication than we did 20 years ago. So it's no surprise then that there are 4 times as many overdose deaths involving prescription drugs now compared to 20 years ago. And almost all of those are a type of drug called opioid. Opioids include cocaine, heroin, illegal drugs, but also drugs that get prescribed, like Dilaudid, Oxycontin, Percocet, Vicodin, and fentanyl. And that last one, fentanyl, gets a lot of publicity today because it's so potent. Just 2 milligrams of fentanyl which is something the size of 4 grains of salt, is enough to kill the average man, which means 4.4 pounds of fentanyl can kill 1 million people. And the U.S.-Mexico border, just the first 10 months of this year, saw over 10,100 pounds of fentanyl come over the border, which was intercepted. So we don't even know how much came over, but 10,000 pounds was intercepted. That's enough to kill every person in the United States 6 times over. And so there's this opioid epidemic that has killed about 100,000 people last year, on pace to kill even more this year. But as bad as that is, 100,000 people, there were 140,000 deaths in America this last year from alcohol. We often kind of forget about alcohol because it's this old problem, but it's just as serious and even more serious than some of the new drug problems that we have today.
Yeah, those statistics are very alarming. So America really has a problem with this. There's a political problem, there's a moral problem, there's social problems with this. But I think it's interesting also when you talk about the addiction of sin of any kind, it usually starts with a lie. So what are some of those lies, Pastor, that can occur?
I think there's 2 really common, almost universal lies of addiction. And the first one is, I can stop whenever I want to. I have the tiger by the tail, I'm in control, or it's not that bad and I don't need it. And it's the denial phase of addiction. But the second lie, I think even more people believe, and it's at a point where people hate the addiction, but the lie then becomes, I can't stop. So first you think you can, and then you realize I can't stop because I've tried. In fact, I think many would echo the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 7, 21 through 23. He says, although I want to do good, evil's right there with me. In my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin within me. And so I think people relate to that. They think, my mind wants to stop. Deep down, I want to stop. I hate it. I hate where it takes me, what it does to me. I hate how it makes me treat my family and those I care about, how I lie and cheat and steal to get it. I hate how I can't function without it. But every time I try to leave it behind, it comes back that much harder. And when I give in, it feels so good. But only for a moment, and the high wears off and the buzz comes down and I feel even worse than I did before. And there's this nasty cycle of shame and self-hatred. I think we need to understand that people are not different today. And he related to that and said, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that's subject to death? And to hear a man who wrote 11 books of the Bible talk like that really encourages me. And he answers it, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord.
He's really transparent, isn't he, Pastor?
Yeah, we should do that more ourselves. I think we often hide our struggle with sin. And if we were more transparent, like even Paul, I think it would be a huge help.
I want to thank you for this topic today. This is not a topic a lot of people want to speak on in our generation, but it's probably one of the greatest needs to talk about. We're going to continue with Pastor Bob Kadlecic here in just a moment. I want to thank so many of you who pray for our ministry and many of you who have helped us financially. Let me just bring you up to date with our radio ministry. As many of you know, we're on WPEL Monday through Friday, as well as the weekend edition. They were on WJSA in Jersey Shore, Pennsylvania. There are translators in Binghamton, Elmira, Endicott, Sayre. WPGM, we're so glad for our friends in that area with Life Change, both today and weekend. In Danville, Pennsylvania, Horseheads, New York. Then we're on in New Berlin, Pennsylvania, Williamsport, Pennsylvania. And then we're so glad to tell you, some of you know this, but we're glad to announce to you again that we are on the Mission Go International Radio, which goes to many, many parts of the world. And there are many millions of potential listening audience. And we air Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 1:11 a.m., 6:11 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 7:15 p.m. And so there are many people that listen in. We appreciate that wonderful opportunity that's all been underwritten for our ministry. And then we're on Gospel Radio East Africa, where our dear friends there, which originates in Uganda and covers much of East Africa with this daily programming. So I'm so glad they're all listening. And, you know, pastors, we have all these people listening, and it's such a blessing that we can give the Word of God and the Gospel out. And this topic today is actually right on target for people all around the world. Stats may be different from country to country, but as you well know, this is the kind of issue. So we've talked about the addiction of sin, and we've talked about how it begins with a lie. Now, you've mentioned about the importance of the Gospel, and I've said this many times. I know you preach it constantly. The Gospel is the bottom line answer, and that Jesus is the answer. But what about, would you say to people who respond, I'm tired of Jesus, I'm still stuck in my addiction. What do I need to do? What do they need to do?
Well, the verse I just kind of mentioned a little bit ago, Romans 7:25, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. I think what most people hear is, I just want to explain that. If you want to be free from addiction and you want deliverance, you need Jesus Christ, your Lord, a new king or Lord on the throne of your life. Modern psychology will say that you need to take charge of your life. Don't let the addiction take charge. You need to take charge. But the truth is, you're not strong enough. I mean, I'm not strong enough. I constantly cave in. And there are times where I don't care what happens to me. So there has to be a bigger reason. So, you know, you get scared, you put the drug in charge, you have a bad day, you take a drink. You need to recognize that you need someone else in charge of your life. You need Jesus Christ, your Lord. Jesus Christ, the baby in the manger, is great at Christmas, but won't help your addiction. Jesus Christ, the good teacher, won't help your addiction. It must be Jesus Christ, your Lord. And so usually when people say, I've tried that and it didn't help, it means maybe one of a few things. It might mean, I tried the whole church thing, it didn't work. I felt even more guilty and judged. But Romans 7:25 isn't recommending church or that you get religion. He's talking about giving up your life. Jesus called it dying. That's pretty extreme. Making Jesus your Lord isn't just about your addiction. I think a lot of people struggling with addiction, they just say, I want Jesus to take my addiction. But what Jesus wants to take is your whole life. He doesn't just want your addiction. Nobody wants your addiction. God is not interested in making you a non-addicted, upstanding member of society who goes to hell anyway. He wants you to give him your life so he can give you a new life that starts now and goes into eternity.
Yeah, and I think the whole idea that we're talking about here with this concept of what Christ does for us, you know, when you talk about that and dying to self, I mean, that would be a topic we could spend a Saturday on. You know, the whole idea of dying to self, it's a great biblical concept, a great biblical teaching there. So go on and talk a little bit more about this idea that Jesus is the answer.
You know, sometimes people will even give their life to Christ and then they still struggle with addiction. I think that's almost universal. And so I think one of the things that may help an individual like that is Romans 8:1, which says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation means punishment, judgment, you know, someone saying you're guilty. And Jesus came not just to set you free from your addiction. He came to set you free from your guilt and shame, too. And that's so important. We talked about how Paul was willing to talk about, really, his own addiction to sin. And he did that because he wasn't ashamed of it anymore, because it wasn't who he was. Condemnation turns events into identities. It's like, so you stole, so now your identity is a thief. You use drugs, your identity is an addict. You drank, your identity is an alcoholic. And I understand when people say I'm an alcoholic, even though they haven't drunk in 20 years. They're saying I always have this temptation I need to be on guard against. But in reality, if you have asked God to forgive your sins and you have given that over to him, you are no longer an alcoholic. Your identity is not your condemnation. God speaks the last word over you, not your past. And actually, this whole identity thing relates actually to a new book, you know, that you've just written called True Spiritual Identity, How Does God Look at Us? And I think it's out of Ephesians 1. And it is so, condemnation turns events into identities, and we're no longer condemned. Who I am isn't about who I say I am. It's about who God says I am. And that's so much better. Is that why you wrote that book?
That thought goes back to 1993. I was pastoring the Open Door Church of Chambersburg. I had been there 23 years at that time, and I had preached a series on Ephesians years before that. But I announced to my congregation that what I wanted to do was to preach again in Ephesians. My plan was to, in 6 months, do the entire epistle. And I found myself in the first 14 verses for 6 months. It just overwhelmed me what God said about us. And what God is doing there is he's saying, since you are in Christ, this is who you are. He said we are saints. He said you are forgiven. He talks about being accepted. People want to be accepted. Timothy Paul Jones tells the story of his adopted daughter, who was very rebellious for a while. And the previous parents that she was with, whenever they went to Disney, they never took her because she was a bad girl. And he tells the story of how he took her, even though she was still a very bad girl. And after going to Disney at night, he said, well, how was it? And she said, I know why I went, because now I'm accepted. And I didn't go because I was good. And it really portrays how God looks at us through Jesus Christ. And Pastor Bob, I really think if people can get that concept into their hearts, it can help them in addictions or whatever it is they're involved with, how God really sees us. If I encourage somebody, I feel good about it. But if somebody encourages me, they also feel good about it. I feel really good because somebody's taken the time to do that. And when we stop and think about what God the Father has done for us, it's amazing. Everybody needs a father. Everybody. And if your earthly father, like my father, is gone, then that's the way it is. But there's a heavenly father. So that's what that book is about. It takes several passages of scripture in Ephesians 1:1-14, and it points out 15 things that God says about every human being who's in Christ. I believe if we understand that, it does away with a lot of the political chicanery that's going on today. I think it is a way with wanting to be addicted to the wrong things if we understand what God has done for us. So yeah, that book means a lot to me. That's where it began, 1993. And a publisher asked me not too long ago, would you put that in print? And I did so. And we trust that our listeners can get that book. Tell them how to get that, Pastor Bob.
To order the book, you go to dinopadronministries.org. And I actually asked, is it Dino Padron Ministries singular or plural? And he said it's plural. So dinopadronministries.org. And I think that will be very helpful to a lot of people. We are not defined. I'm not defined by my darkest moment. I'm defined by Christ's darkest moment. And by that, it's when he was on the cross, he took the darkness for me. And, you know, through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit that gives life has set us free from the law of sin and death. And so, you know, there's a lot of word pictures in the Bible that really help us to understand that, you know, Jesus really did take away that condemnation, and we don't have to live under it as our identity.
And it was God's darkest moment. That's a great way to put it. You're listening into Life Change today. Glad you're listening in. And we're with Pastor Bob Kadlecic, who's on with us monthly, very much a part of our family here. We're talking about this whole idea of what does God say? What is an answer for our addictions? So Pastor Bob, recognizing who I am, that I am not condemned, that sin doesn't define who I am, is an important part of finding freedom for addiction. What else would you say about this?
Practically speaking, I think there's two other things that will really help us overcome addiction. Recently, was with some, you know, recovering addicts, and they had said the opposite of addiction is connection. And I don't know if that's completely true, but there is a lot of truth in it. I think we need other people. I am a strong believer in the fact that it is impossible to follow Jesus alone. There are 32 one another commands in the New Testament, and you can't obey any of them without other people. And just to recognize that God made us as social creatures. You need others. Others need you. I think this is why Jesus started the church. I mean, he could have started a food pantry, a clinic to help addicts. He could have started a hospital, a university, political party, military. He didn't start any of that stuff. He started something better and more powerful than all of them, which is the church. And the church is, of course, not a building. It's not a meeting once or twice a week where people sing songs and listen to a speech about the Bible. The church is people who've made Jesus their Savior and Lord and are trying to help each other follow him. If there aren't people in your life that you've given permission to ask you hard questions, that you challenge and say, hey, how are you doing? That's an absence of the church in your life, and you need that, especially if you're struggling with an addiction, and I think all of us do, because all sin is addictive. That's especially important. On a wall above my desk, where I can read it every day, I posted this: Satan doesn't care what you believe as long as you don't live it. Satan doesn't care how you want to live as long as you do it alone. Therefore, the biggest threat to Satan is the church. And I think that's why the church is under attack more than anything else, from within, by wolves, and from the outside. You know, people are, oh, you believe Jesus is great, that's no problem. But the church, I mean, that is just, there's a viciousness to the attack and hatred of the church. And I think it's because it's the body of Christ. It is the visible, tangible representation of Jesus in the world today, and you can't follow him without that. And so addiction, you got to understand who you are, your identity. You need to not try to overcome it alone. And I think the last thing is we need to put off and put on. The opposite of stealing is not stopping stealing. It's actually working hard, saving money, and then giving that money away to those in need. The opposite of gossip isn't staying quiet. It's praising and encouraging others. And so what you need to figure out is, what is the opposite of your addiction? And that's harder to answer, but it has to be doing something, because it's like you need a new best friend, and addiction's always there for you. You know, when you want to celebrate, pull out the whole plate of brownies and eat it, right? When you're depressed, pull out the whole plate of brownies and eat them. When you're stressed out, well, it's time for more brownies, or fill in the blank for whatever it is that you're addicted to. And you just have to find someone else or something else to invest that time in. There's a single man in our church, serves in a ministry Sunday morning, who was a drug addict. And Sunday morning, he's there from 7 a.m. to noon. And then this last Sunday, we're starting a jail ministry again, and he went with me to the jail. And he's involved in a small group on Monday night. And there's times where he gets together with those Christian friends from that group, other times as well. And you know what he said to me? Because I mentioned all these things he's doing, he said, it's not enough. Because there was a huge void in his life when he gave up drugs. And he understands that God's filling the void in his heart, but he needs Christian friends and ministries to fill that void in his time. And so to him, that's the opposite of his addiction: connection with good people, ministry, and encouraging others.
Yeah, that's terrific, Pastor. Thank you so much. Our time is up, but what a wonderful broadcast this has been. Does God have an answer for my addiction? And I would encourage you, my friend, to take the truths that you've learned about and really think through these. Pray for yourself. We all have challenges. We all have issues in life. As Pastor Bob was mentioning Romans 7, we all fit right in there one place or another. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
You have been listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. That's dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.